Run! Go! Get to the jibber jabber!
Hey, hey, hey. It's that episode before Christmas. Episode 71 of Jibber Jabber Podcast. And today, as always, I'm joined with J-Mac. How's it going?
Yeah, I'm not bad, man. It's Sunday night and, as always, looking forward to work on Monday. You fucking beauty.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, not to fear, J-Mac. I'm here to set you in the great spirits. Maybe not of Christmas. It's not really a Christmas episode, but there's a lot going on in the world of film and TV, and there's a lot going on in the world in general. So we'll get cracked, didn't it? Kind of kick off this jibber jabber festive edition where fuck all's festive about it.
that's a nice breath of fresh air. Everywhere you turn, there's fucking Christmas songs playing and people doing Christmas specials. Let's just forget it.
Yeah, and people doing podcasts with trees in their cam.
Honestly, man, I pointed over the wrong shoulder.
Yeah, Braveheart tree. In fact, there's tinsel on the Braveheart as well.
So how can you make Mel Gibson look harder? Tinsel.
No. So how's your week been so far? All right.
Yeah, not bad at all, man. We it's been a decent weekend. We went and met some friends, well, relatives, sort of thing. Today and exchanged some Christmas presents. This was a nice wee, what do you call it, a farm shop and restaurant thing. Thought might as well go while they're still fucking open, eh?
That sounds
because
boring,
we are going into another fucking lockdown.
Hey, we're here to keep the spirits up of everyone.
Yes.
For everyone listening at home, everybody watching at home, for the next hour or so, you guys can just unplug from the real world and just enjoy some proper Scottish jibber jabber banter. If not, click a dislike and click the wee close icon. So let's get to it. Let's get to it straight away. We're going to kick off our topics of the week. So, topic of the week, we will kick this off with Tom Cruise and his crazy, crazy rant. Just for anybody that doesn't know, I'm going to kind of create a little bit of a picture here, a wee bit of background, create some context. So, Tom Cruise was on the set of the latest Mission Impossible. Like Fast and Furious movies, they seem to never end. So, the latest one's what, Mission Impossible 7?
Yeah.
And we got the whole Christian Bale kind of treatment, the someone recording the audio, and Tom Hanks went off his rocker. Did I say Tom Hanks? Sorry. Tom Cruise, same thing. Oh my god. So Tom Cruise went off his nut about people standing around a monitor, I believe, to review some footage or something, and he went proper. Should I include the clip here in the episode?
Yeah, I think so. I think people need to hear it.
Yeah, so here we go. I'm going to roll the footage now.
You're the gold standard. You're back here in Hollywood making movies right now because of us. Because they believe in us and what we're doing. I'm on the phone with every studio at night. Insurance companies. Producers. And they're looking at us and using us to make their movies. We are creating thousands of jobs, you I don't ever want to see it again. Ever. And if you don't do it, you're fired. And I see you do it again, you're gone. And anyone on this crew does it. That's it. And you too. And you too. And you. Don't you ever do it again. That's it! No apologies. You can tell it to the people that are losing their f***ing homes because our industry is shut down. It's not going to put food on their table or pay for their college education. That's what I sleep with every night. and the future of this f***ing industry. So I'm sorry, I'm beyond your apologies. I have told you, and now I want it. And if you don't do it, you're out. We are not shutting this f***ing movie down. Is it understood? If I see it again, you're f***ing gone. And so are you. So you're going to cost him his job. And I see it on the set, you're gone. And you're gone. That's it. Am I clear? Do you understand what I want? Do you understand the responsibility that you have? Because I will deal with your reason. And if you can't be reasonable, and I can't deal with your logic, you're fired. That's it. That is it. I trust you guys to be here. That's it. That's it, guys.
Wow, did he just he opened up a can of verbal whoop-ass.
Yeah, you can. There's something about that whole thing tells me he wasn't very happy.
So he's seeing people gather around the monitor, and the film industry is on its knees. And I think what's annoyed him is he's got a hand in the production of that, producing it in that movie. So he kind of wants it to kind of progress without any hiccups. So, well, give me your take on it first before I kind of put my two bob in.
Right. Well, when I first listened to it, right, the first time I kind of clicked on it, I was like, what's this about? My first kind of instant kind of gut reaction was the same response to the Christian Bale thing. I was thinking, what a fucking over-entitled wanker. That was my first response. Having thought about it since, I totally get where he's coming from. I really do. I think there was a few things that he said where I was like, that's a bit much, man. What I get from it is it's probably been something that's been bubbling up. Like, he's probably seen quite a lot of it, and this was the last fucking straw. He's probably had wee words with people before, and this is now, it's the usual, man. It's like everything else on the internet. All you get is the last bit. You don't ever see a build up. You don't ever see a reason. You don't ever see the argument before things happen. This is just sensationalism. It takes the culmination of probably a million things that have happened on set, and eventually he's just fucking lost it. Like you said, he's producing the movie. He's in charge of the whole thing. We know what a producer does now, thanks to Carolyn Sinclair Kidd. Look at that. Sinclair Kidd, not my kid. We know that they basically do everything except direct the film. They've got a hand in everything else. So he's talking about how he's on the phone to studios and insurance companies and stuff like that. Obviously, these people need to know that the rules are getting followed. Or it's his ass that's on the line. Well, it's Tom Cruise. It's probably not. You know what I mean?
No, but I wouldn't think so. But hey, you never know, right?
But he's pushing forward with getting this movie made. If there was an outbreak on the set, could you imagine what would happen to the insurance costs for the movie to continue? If it could continue, it could shut it down completely. So as a boss in that situation, I think I'd probably be just as raging. I've seen a few comments where they're talking about, but the way he spoke was ridiculous. You can't be swearing at your employees like that. That's a very recent thing, not being able to speak to your employees like that. Mm. Back in the 70s and 80s, probably even the 90s, you could get away with a lot more. So by today's standard, certainly, I think he went too far. But I do kind of agree with his point of view on it.
Yeah, like, I was kind of thinking that myself, right? Okay, I understand this point, which makes sense, fair enough. But if I was on a set, if I was working a job and someone spoke to me like that, I don't give a fuck who it is, he'd be getting slapped and put him back in his high chair.
I know, but again, it's one of, imagine like you're trying to be in that industry. Do you want to piss off one of the most powerful people in that industry? Because he is. He's an absolute powerhouse.
Of course, the thing is, it's not so much that. Like, the people on the job should be following the rules. I mean, they're in a very lucky. I mean, they've obviously worked their way to be on that set, right? But not everybody gets to work on a set, and it's a very cherished role. So if it was me, I would be making sure that I was doing everything possible to make sure everybody's safe and that we could continue. But I think an element of what he was doing there was he knows he's Tom Cruise, so he thinks that's fine. I'll just speak to everybody like shit, and I can do it because I'm Tom Cruise. And nah, sorry, but I think there's ways of speaking to people, even so much as, you know, I would say call a meeting, call a socially distanced meeting and have your say there, or have someone say it for you. There's also the way we could look at it, right? Maybe that has happened. Maybe it's to a point, sometimes someone needs a good fucking telling. And again, there was no context from what came before, but if I had a boss speak to me like that, I'd tell them where to go when they deal with that shit.
Mm-hmm.
So if he wants to talk about professionalism, following the rules, maybe he should also take a leaf at his own book.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely flawed. The way he dealt with it is 100% flawed. But
you're acting on human emotion, right? Which, again, I found myself in many scenarios where I've snapped, and then after the fact, I go over it and I'm like, right, this, and this, I should maybe know I've done, but I stand by the point. And then I go back and I'm like, here, look, I'm sorry about the way I did, but I want you to understand, here's where I came from to get to that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I'm going to apologize for these parts of it, but understand what I was saying is very real. Fair enough. Yeah. That's just human error. And I think we can all be dickish. It's a natural thing, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, without knowing the entire situation, you're never going to be able to judge it right. I think he was right in chastising him for it. I think he was wrong in certain things that he said and certain threats that he made. But again, has he made these threats before?
Mm.
Or saying, listen, if this happens again, you're gone.
Mm-hmm.
And then it happened again. And maybe this is another chance he's given them. You don't know how many chances these people have had.
Mm.
So again, we're looking at it from an outsider's point of view. What would be really interesting would be if somebody that was actually there could discuss it.
Well, on that note, 5 members of staff have quit. I think I did read that this isn't the first time, or that wasn't the only time that he had spoke to people like that, and 5 members of staff had quit. Had you seen that update?
I'd seen the update saying that he had another rant after that one, and that's when 5 people quit.
Yeah, and on top of that,
in that situation, do you want to have it on your record that you were fired, or would you just quit before they could fire you?
Again, we don't know the ins and outs. It'd be interesting to see what he says when it, you know, when he's, because at some point he'll be interviewed about that. There is a former Scientology church woman. She worked.
Woman. a member. a former member of the Scientology.
Yeah.
Church of Scientology.
She's a wee wifey for the Scientology church. What was her name? Her name is Leah Ramani.
Leah Remini, aye.
Right.
Aye. She's an actress. She was in King of Queens.
Right. Well, she went on the record and saying that that's a load of shite and that he's done that purely for publicity, because he himself, this is something that he's conveyed to the Church of Scientology, he himself does not believe in the virus or that it poses any kind of threat to anyone. Kind of makes you think, what's at work here? Is he kind of just acting it up for publicity?
But she's not been in that church for years, though.
No, but I think she still has connections within it.
I would doubt that. It's one of the ones where
if you're in, you're in,
and if you're out, you're fucking out.
Aye.
There's no treading water in between. Mm-hmm. If you're out, you get seen as what they call an SP, a suppressive person, and you are ousted. You're gone, to use Tom Cruise's language. So you are gone. And it's so I don't know so much about that. And even if he doesn't believe in the virus, which I would believe that he doesn't believe in it, because if anybody
the thing is, I know why, because the virus doesn't attack kids, and it proper went past him thinking it was a kid. It's like, yeah, we don't do children, man. He's like, see, no threat, man, no threat.
Now, I totally believe that he believes the virus isn't real, because if you could believe anything that's in Scientology, you will believe anything. Honestly, it's the most fucking ridiculous religion in the world. The guy that started the religion, L. Ron Hubbard, was quoted as saying, if you want to make $1 million, start a religion. And then he started a religion. Unbelievable. Right? And the stuff that they believe in this, honestly, you think God and Jesus and the devil's fucking daft? Listen to the stuff they believe in Scientology. It is hilarious, man.
Jordan, just while you say that, do you have any plans to kill yourself?
Right now?
At any point in the near future?
Depends on the situation.
All right. This was meant to be your point where you go, no, so that if you show up dead for mocking Scientology, people could use this in the conspiracy to say, like, they've done him in. See, he wasn't planning to kill himself.
All right, I have no plans to kill myself. Edit that in.
So if Jordan miraculously turns up dead, it was for that statement.
No, I mean, I think there's certain situations where suicide is justified, but nothing that I can think of right now. Like, I was watching Fury. You ever seen Fury?
I think so.
With Brad Pitt. The World War II movie.
No, seen it.
It's really good, man. It was like a... It's tried to be Saving Private Ryan, didn't quite get there, but it got close. It was a decent movie. And there's a bit in that where there's a soldier that basically gets set on fire during an explosion. I think it's a liquid fire, something's on him, so he can't get the fire to go out. So while he's lying on the ground burning, he just pulls out his gun and blows himself away. That's a good situation to kill yourself. But I can't see me having any reason to be set on fire like that. So
headlines a month from now: J-Mac from the famous Jibber Jabber podcast spontaneously combusts and blows his own brains out.
I remember the first time I found out about spontaneous combustion. I was like, this can't be real. Imagine just sitting like watching Coronation Street or something, then you just go on fire.
You can't have set myself on fire. You can't have spontaneously combusted. Imagine that.
He's like, oh, I shouldn't eat that curry last night, man.
Spontaneous combustion.
So I do believe that he believes the virus isn't real, but he still is clever enough to know that most people do, including studios and insurance companies. And without those people behind him, the film's not getting made. So he still has to enforce the rules. I don't not believe in it. I believe in it. I know it's real. I just don't think it's as terrifying as it's getting made out to be.
Mate,
that's not up to me. That doesn't mean that I can behave how I want when I go to work. I still need to follow the rules. So, yeah. End of story.
Aye. So, to our next point.
You've been really quiet, man.
To our next point. Hear me all right? Mm-hmm. Perfect. Hello, hello. To my next point. The Mandalorian season finale just dropped on Friday there. And I know you know a little bit about it, but I'm going to walk you through exactly, for me, what this was like, because, as you know yourself, I really like Star Wars.
Do you?
Aye. So, get this right. Spoiler alert for anybody that's not seen it. Go watch Mandalorian. Come back to here. Right? And hopefully by then, J-Max stops making noise with whatever it is he's fucking fidgeting with.
I'm not fidgeting. I just moved something.
So, get this right. You don't mind me spoiling this for you?
No, it's all right. Go ahead.
So, at this point, Grogu, who is Baby Yoda, right, has been captured by Moff Gideon, who is Gus from Breaking Bad. Plays a great bad guy. they're using Grogu's blood to what we think to bring back Palpatine. Now, the two episodes previous, right, episode 6, they placed Grogu on a Jedi kind of temple thing, and he done this whole come and find me Jedi kind of come and find me Jedi kind of thing. He sent out a signal to any Jedi in the galaxy to come and rescue him. And then he got stolen by Moth Gideon, and then Mandalorian went to get him. And Mandalorian's in Moth Gideon's spaceship. And then there's these Terminator-like, imagine Darth Vader, but chrome-like, with red eyes, but made out of like T-800, right?
Okay.
And they're smashing these doors down. There's about 50 of them. They're smashing into the doors. Moth Gideon's kind of like caught, and he's like, oh no, looks like when they get in, yous are all dead, bar me, right? And they're like, oh well, we're pretty much done. So they're waiting on these robots coming through. They know they're going to get done in. And then all you see is this X-Wing flying past the spaceship, right? And you're like, Nath, I'll show you my reaction. So here's me just watching it, right? And then I went, right, I was like,
okay.
I was like, did I just see R2 on the top of that X-Wing? I know who flies an X-Wing, right? And then at this point, this is where it really got me, right? As the X-Wing enters the port in the ship, right? And the wee voice is going, identify yourself. And no one's answering, right? Grogu goes like this, who's force sensitive. Grogu goes, so I'm like, Grogu can feel a Jedi, right? Mate, then a hooded figure starts walking through the corridor. You're seeing him on the CCTV. He gets a lightsaber and starts just like cutting into Butterman, just taking these things down, right? Which for me was like, wow, this shows you how strong a Jedi was. Because when you watch Star Wars, you're seeing a Jedi among other Jedi. So you're like, oh, of course, they're just like samurai. But when you see them against people that are just normal, you see how really powerful they are. Does that make sense? Like, if you were to, when you watch a ninja movie and everybody's a ninja, you just, okay, everybody's a ninja. But when the ninja takes to the streets and starts ending folk, you're like, right, ah, the ninjas kick ass. You know what I mean?
Like seeing a ninja that's going after some guy that's trying to get disability benefits he's not entitled to.
Right, exactly. Right. Exactly. So Luke Skywalker's just like ending everybody. And he gets to the point where he's now ended all these T-800 lookalikes. And then he's at the door, and then they open the door, and then a hooded figure there. He's got a green lightsaber. He walks in, takes his hood down. Mate, what fan service. Luke Skywalker there. They've CGI'd his face like they did with Tarkin in Rogue One. Did you see Rogue One?
I've started it.
Peter Cushing's character?
Yeah, I've seen that bit.
Right. That's
really quite
done.
Good, considering Rogue One was a few years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it picked apart, like I've seen an effects expert kind of show you everything that's wrong with it.
Mm.
But to the untrained eye, it looks amazing.
Yeah,
my dad told me about it beforehand. Actually, he's like, I had to double take. I was like, was that Peter Cushing?
Yeah, man.
I thought he was fucking dead.
Yeah, I know. Well, here's the thing with the Mark Hamill one, you can tell it's not as good as Peter Cushing's. I will say that.
Right.
But I'll take it. I'll fucking take it. Do you know why?
Yeah.
Because the fan service in that, mate. Luke Skywalker comes in, and then you know, Mando goes to him, are you a Jedi? And he goes, I am. And he starts talking to them. And then R2 peers out from behind him. I was like, fucking nut, man. Right? And for me, it's a really special one. Here's what I'll say about this, right? Here's to summarize. That one scene beats anything Disney have done with Star Wars so far. Right? I think...
I seen the meme that you posted earlier on that was really, really good. And it was J.J. Abrams at the top, and it said, nah, it's not possible to just give fan service and attract a new audience at the same time. It can't be done. Then underneath is Jon Favreau going, hold my beer.
Yes. And mate, I literally sent a tweet out to Disney, and I was like, if you could just have Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau take over every Star Wars project moving forward, that would be class, thanks. These guys just get it. They get it, man. The simple nuances, right? From the way Luke holds his lightsaber. There's a movie does where actually Anakin done in Revenge of the Sith, right? Every single little piece of detail you can tell that it's coming from people that are major, major Star Wars nerds, right? And that will appeal to people like myself that are Star Wars nerds, man. It just was perfect. And I'm like, right, I've never seen a bad episode of The Mandalorian. The Mandalorian, right, sits right atop of that pyramid of everything that's happened since the original trilogy and the original prequels. From there, moving forward, Mandalorian is the best. It's better than any of the movies. It really is. And that piece of fan service for me, man. I've watched so many reaction videos online, and there are grown men sitting there crying their eyes out, man. It's so class.
I mean, I take it never affected you in that way.
I felt very strong towards the scene. I've watched it like 9 times.
Did you agree? It's like, no, he's got a heart of fucking stone. Look at him.
I do not have a heart of stone. I'm very good at controlling the emotion. Kinda.
That's been illustrated in many a podcast. I'm really good at holding myself together. I cried watching Up the other day.
Is that your first time watching it?
No, I've seen it before, but it just, I don't know, man, it just kind of caught me at the right moment. I say I cried, I wasn't sitting, but I could feel it building up, and I was like, oh no, here we go, and I had that kind of, that single Sinead O'Connor. Nothing compares to Up.
Nice, man.
I looked over at the wife, and she's seen it, and then she started laughing at me, but then I looked close, and she was crying as well.
If I'm gone, you're coming with me, fucking. Class, man.
But I'll tell you something. I thought, the last time I watched Up, I thought the movie opened with a dialogue-free sequence of them getting, kind of, meeting and getting old together.
Uh-huh.
And dying. Right? This one opened with a lot more. I was watching it, I was like, I don't remember this. That happened. That did happen. At one point it stopped, the dialogue stopped, and it showed you the life. But before that, there was a whole sequence of them meeting for the first time, and she was like this wee adventurous wee girl that was hanging about.
Yeah, I remember that.
I don't remember that at all. And neither did my wife. Point where we were like, is this like extra footage or something that we've never seen before?
No, man, I remember that.
Oh well, that was.
I think I've only seen it like twice.
I said when we first started watching, I was like, "This, I think this one by memory, I think it's quite overrated. I don't think it's as good as a lot of people say it is." But I sat and watched it all, and it was all right.
I actually have a really good joke about Up.
Go on then.
It's just one of those off the cuff kind of things, right? Here we go. We ready for it?
Mm-hmm.
Rick Astley will lend you any DVD for his Disney collection. But he's never going to give you up.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Yes, man.
There's no response to that. Let's just move on to the next fucking thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, no, you're still talking about Mandalorian.
No, man, that was pretty much it. I want you to watch it. I know that you're kind of, you're what I would call a bath toe dipper, which is where you kind of dip your toe into Star Wars, but if it's not the right temperature for you, you take it back out and you fuck off. But if it is the right temperature, you'll jump in and have a wee soak.
Like I told you at the time, man, that the newest Star Wars movie was the only film I've ever walked out in the cinema on, and I've seen some shit.
You've seen Last Jedi, and you didn't walk out on that?
No, but I bought that. Right. I bought that to watch it on Amazon Prime. I actually paid full price for it to see it, which was uncharacteristic as fuck for me, because obviously I'm not a big Star Wars fan anyway, but I was like, no, I need to watch this. And so I paid the full price and I watched it, and I did quite enjoy it. But maybe it's because I'm not a Star Wars fan, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, that's probably the case.
Could do a whole episode on the fact that I'm not a Star Wars fan.
You know, we could do a whole
I prefer Star Trek.
Well, we could do a full episode on exactly why Last Jedi was shite. But I think that's something we'll need to get David Paulus back on for, because when I had watched Mandalorian, I messaged him and I says, have you watched Mandalorian? And he was like, not yet, I just woke up, I'm about to, because obviously there's a time difference with him being in the US. And he was like, I sent him pictures, like GIFs of like crying. You know that scene with Matthew McConaughey in Interstellar? He's like,
yeah.
Well, I sent that to him and I was like, you in 20 minutes. I was like, future you in 20 minutes. And then after he sent me back, he was like, you were fucking goddamn right. I was like, I know. He was like, my mum's asking why I'm crying. So yeah, that I feel there are so many good Star Wars episodes out there that we can have with him on, which will be class. But so we'll kind of shoot forward to the main topic. The meat and two veg of this episode. So today we're going to chat about the Amiga 1200.
It's like the episode just turned a total corner. We've went from talking about movies to, fuck it, let's talk about a computer from 1992 or whenever it came out. I can't remember.
No, you're right. 92, man. I was 1 year old. I was 1 year old.
Yeah. Well, the reason that we're going to talk about this one in particular is because we've probably mentioned on previous episodes at some point that I'm not a gamer either. I don't like Star Wars, and I'm not a gamer. I'm a total fucking outcast in modern day life. And part of that is because I never played a lot of the games that other people played when they were growing up, because I had the Amiga 1200. Which nobody had. Trying to find the sales figures for it was really difficult. I think I managed to find one sales figure, and it was for Germany. And it said, I think they sold 95,000 in Germany. And I was like, okay, that tells me nothing. So I don't know how many were sold. I know there was at least one sold, and that was to me.
I can create a little bit of background before we get into the heart of what that console is and what it meant to you. So the Amiga 1200 came out on the 21st of October 1992, right? Guess how much that motherfucker sold for at that time?
£400.
Fucking £399 for that. That was the cheap one. Wait, we'll get to it. That was the cheap version, mate, right? So it was like the next one up from the Amiga 500, right?
Yeah.
So it was going to be like what the PS4 Pro is to the PS4. Thing is, so it was done by Commodore International, and it came out in 1992 and was discontinued in 1996. And the reason being, it had a 4-year run, right? But flopped and sent Commodore into bankruptcy in 1994.
That's sad.
And do you know why though? And I think they rushed it out because I think they had plans for it to have better specs, to do better things and whatnot, but they rushed it to get ahead of another console.
And I remember telling people with glee that it had a 2 megabyte RAM.
It's got a 2 megabyte RAM, man. This ain't gonna fucking function. Right. So you've got more of a connection to this console than me. So I'm just gonna kick it off by telling you what I remember, because I did have one, right? I'm gonna kind of kick it off, and then we'll go down we'll go down memory road for you, because this is more significant in your life than it is with mine. I'll kind of just brush up on that with a couple of the consoles that I did grow up on, a couple of the games. But the Amiga 1200, and I'm sure that's the one I had, because I do recall it. I had RoboCop versus Terminator. And am I right in thinking Shinobi was also on that initially?
I don't know, man. It's, I think most of the games that I played on that, I'd never seen for any other console. Right. I think most of the games never ported to other consoles. Yeah. There was probably some that did port in from other consoles to Amiga, but I don't think there was many.
What was that one you got me to play recently, and I sent you a picture of it?
Oscar.
That actually went on the Nintendo Entertainment System.
Oh, did it?
100%. Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Right, yeah. Okay. I'm assuming it's sold like hotcakes for that as well.
Well, here's the thing. I actually have a legitimate emulator. I've got quite a lot of emulators that I bought and paid for, so I'm not doing it like on the fly. And this emulator that I have for the Amiga has thousands of Amiga games, and I couldn't find it on that. It was actually the Nintendo Entertainment System emulation of that game that I turned on. But it works pretty much the same. But
you know what's really strange about that fact is the fact that that character Oscar was, I think they tried to make that the Amiga mascot.
Mm.
He's on the box of the what I'm going to talk about in a minute.
Ah, the Amiga. Well, let's go for it. So as a child, I played it a little bit. I remember sticking the floppy disk in the side of the keyboard. I remember wondering, why do I need a keyboard? Because I don't talk about anything. I'm using this wee controller device and the mouse. So I remember wondering to myself, why do I need keys? And then I think before the game loaded, it sat on like a Matrix-style kind of screen. I could just kind of type and pretend that I was talking to a pen pal because I had no friends. So that's what I remember of the Amiga 1200.
This is the modern-day version of that.
And can I just point out, I had the Amiga 1200 when the PS2 was a thing. Like, my friends had a PS2. What? Yeah, because my dad had the Amiga 1200 for ages, right? And I never had a PS2 at this point. I must have been, 10 or something? I never had a PS2 at this point. So my dad actually gave me his Amiga, and I played it for ages, because that's all I had. So, aye. Class.
That seems to be the story. People only tend to play it because it's what they had.
Right. Well, it was in there. You know what I mean? It was there. I played it. And you know, I had many good times. But kick it off for me. When did you get it? Did you ask your parents for it? Did it just show up under the tree one year?
No, it just appeared. Basically, I'm going by memory. I can't be 100% sure, and I haven't checked with my parents, but I'm sure it was 1993 that I got the Amiga 1200. Now, it was a Christmas morning, probably about 5:30 in the morning, and obviously at that time, Christmas is really fucking special. So you're up at 5:30 in the morning, go through, get the parents up. The mum jumps out of bed. Dad's not giving half a fuck that it's Christmas. But he comes through eventually. Like, he comes through when you're kind of 4 or 5 presents deep. You know, you just know he wants to go back to bed, which he does eventually. He's like, right, he's done. He's done. Right, tidy this up. I'll see you at 11. We all had our little individual piles for Santa. Right, so everybody had their wee pile of gifts, and there was one big box sitting on the drinks cabinet in the middle of the living room, and it just said the McCaig family on it. So this was a big gift that we all had to share, right? So we're like, what the fuck is this? And, it was, I think, I can't remember who opened it. I don't know if I did, or if my brother did, or my sisters, or if we all had a turn. I honestly can't remember, but I still remember what it looked like when we opened it. And it was in a box. It was an Amiga 1200, obviously, made by, what was it, Commodore?
Commodore.
I kept saying Atari when we were first talking about it. I was like, Amiga. I was like, that's not right. Uh-huh. So we had the desktop dynamite box. That's what it was called. And that was basically the package that came with the Amiga 1200. Because the Amiga 1200 itself is just a unit, but Desktop Dynamite was the kind of all-encompassed package that it came with. So it came with two games, which were Dennis, based on your favourite childhood movie, and Oscar. Now, the excitement of finally having a computer to play was unreal, because it was something we never had as kids was consoles. I know my older brother had a Game Gear at some point, but like a sit and play it on your telly console we never had. So proper excitement. And I just remember opening it up and seeing it and like, what the fuck do I do with this? Because they said it's a big keyboard. It's like, I've seen consoles at my pal's houses, they never had keyboards. So is this have they bought us a word processor? You know, I mean, that was, but once I started playing the games, I instantly fell in love with it. Oscar is possibly the most colourful game I've ever seen. To the point where it's daunting when you look at it now. It's like there's just colour everywhere, and it's It's not as good as Mario or Sonic, right? But to me, it was 10 times better than any of them because it was mine. And yeah. that's what makes all the difference. That's where my feelings for this console come from, is the fact that it was mine and I had it. And eventually it did kind of end up being my computer. The girls weren't really interested in it too much. And then I got to the point where I was having to get my time limited on it. Because I did get proper gamer rage at the age of 7, you know. So it's probably a good thing that my time on it was curbed to some extent. But like I said, I remember that. We were just saying about the 2 megabyte RAM. I remember telling people about that. And it was actually quite impressive that it had a 2 meg RAM. And I can't remember if it was a 16-bit or if it was supposed to be 32 but didn't look. But I think it was 16. Hmm. Based on the games that were on it, I think it was a 16-bit. And it was joystick play as well. Mm-hmm. I remember that. I'm sure it did have a gamepad as well. Is that what you call it? Gamepad?
Controller.
A control pad. Just a controller? Control pad?
I recall mine having a black joystick with red, but they had a red button on the actual stick and then a red button on the right. And I remember playing Rambo as well.
Rambo,
I had Rambo for it. And you know what's funny? I never called it an Amiga 1200, I called it a Commodore,
right? Do you know what, actually, that's one thing I wanted to say is that the name, the Amiga, actually sounds kind of cool. You're like, oh, I've got a Commodore Amiga, now, that sounds cool. Do you know what Amiga means?
What?
Female friend.
Closest thing to it.
So if I was to say the words to you, Commodore Amiga, and like Commodore female friend, you'd think of the fucking robot for Rocky IV. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
The Amiga.
Aye.
Why is it a female? How can you call that a female friend?
See?
Apart from the fact you stick things in it, that's the only thing that... it makes any sense with this.
Well, think about it. It was basically a machine identifying as a woman back then. Pronouns, yeah, pal. Exactly.
So, that was the two games that it came with. Obviously, over time, I acquired more games. Actually, to be honest, looking back on it, I think a lot of the games that I played were only demos. It was like discs that came for free with magazines and stuff like that. Because I remember playing Alien Breed 2 a lot, but it was only one level and you could only get so far. But I played it for hours on end, just repeating it over and over again. Alien Breed 2 was such a fucking good game. We had a janitor at school who, his name was Johnny Bell. You had Johnny Bell and you had Johnny Johnson, right? Johnny Bell was the sound one. Johnny Johnson was a dick, funnily enough. Johnson. So Johnny Bell found out, I told him in the playground one day I had an Amiga. He's like, I've got one, I'll bring you in some games.
Wait. Just nowadays, if a Johnny brings in a games for kids, right, but it just shows you a sign of the times, right?
I know, this was back like where you could act like you were grooming somebody, but not. You know? And you could get away with it.
This was back in a time where you could suck off the Johnny for a couple of games and they'd get it bat annihilated.
For the record, that never happened.
I never got any games.
No, he sucked me off. He didn't. He was one of the nicest guys. He gave me a load of games for it. He came in with it. Remember the old disc boxes? Where you could flick through it like a library index. Came in one of them full of games. And I'm trying to remember the ones I played a lot.
That must have been like Christmas. What a decent guy to just give you games.
It was great, honestly. And he also gave me a disc that was full of cheats for the games as well. You had to put the disc in, read the cheat, write it down, take the disc out, put the game in and do the cheat.
Thing is, is he still alive?
I don't even know, to be honest. I mean, I'm old as fuck now, so there's a good chance he's dead. Johnny Johnson's definitely dead, man. He was unhealthy as fuck, man. He was about 5'2" every direction. Aye. But Johnny Bell, nice guy. Really nice guy. So nice. I had all the games, and I used to play, there was RoboCod, which I think was actually on other consoles as well. Mm-hmm. RoboCod.
You get it for PlayStation 1.
Really? Mm-hmm. There was a game called Putty, where you were a wee blue ball of putty. And you just had to get around. And like your attack was like the front of that character, which was just a wee ball with two eyes, but the front would turn into like a hammer shaped thing or an anvil shape and just kind of fire out and knock things away. It was that. There was Total Carnage, which was kind of like Rambo, I think. So it was I don't know if this is the right term, but I know you get side scroller games. This was what I would call a top scroller. So it kind of came down to that, and you will walk up and kill the baddies.
Yeah.
But it was really bloody, which was unusual. I did have Mortal Kombat for it, the original Mortal Kombat, which is still possibly one of the best games ever made. What else? There was a game called Walker, which I only found out when I got older. I think it was. Looking at, I think it was like a cross between ED-209 and a Walker from Empire Strikes Back.
An AT-ST.
What's that?
An AT-ST or an AT-80. One of the big.
I don't know.
Is it a big square thing with big legs?
The thing that they trip up with the
AT-80
cable. Right. So kind of like a mixture of those two things. But again, that was a really bloody game. So you played as that, and you were fucking just machine gunning the shit out of these wee characters that would run on.
And it was
the game was almost like it was totally in black and white, but there was red blood. there was a really awful fighting game called Body Blows. Now Body Blows, wow, I remember playing it maybe two or three times, and one of the major issues that you had with it is the fact that you had to change discs when you were playing it. It wasn't uncommon for games on floppy disks to come with multiple discs. That was just that was the way of it. But you could, you would choose your character, and then it would say, okay, you're fighting, I don't know, Jimmy Johnson, whatever his name is, and it would come up loading. Then it would say change to disc 2. You're like, all right, cool. Loading, change to disc 5. What the fuck? Open. It's something you get 3 or 4 disc changes before you can actually start the fight. Wow. And then, once you, depending on whether you won or lost that round, you'd have to change the fucking disc again.
So you really didn't know what to lose.
It was an absolute pile of shit.
God. So, people complain about loading times now.
Oh, unreal. Absolutely unbelievable. But the games were just so playable. There was another game called Doofus, which I don't know, probably wouldn't be allowed now because it's offensive in some way. Platforms. The platform games on the Amiga were its bread and butter. The Addams Family, that was a really good game. Again, I think that was ported from or to other things. Mm-hmm. You played as Gomez, and you just had to run about collecting hearts, which makes no sense whatsoever. I don't remember him ever collecting hearts in the movies.
Well, the thing is, he's quite the Casanova with his wife, though, isn't he?
That is true. Maybe. Actually, I watched the Addams Family, the film, a few weeks ago. They two are fucking sexual deviants, like,
mate,
absolute deviants. None of it's on camera, but the stuff they say to each other, you know that there's a chest full of really dirty stuff under their bed. It's probably smelly.
Just a bit.
So, like I said, eventually I had to get my time limited on it to a maximum of 2 hours in a day, because I would just play and play and play and play. And like I said, I just loved it. I loved everything about it. And as much as I knew that there was a lot better out there, you couldn't convince me of that at the time. You couldn't get me to admit it, basically.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck that. You need to get yourself a SNES or a Mega Drive or a Sega Genesis, man. And I'd be like, no, I've got an Amiga. I used to love saying it. I've got an Amiga. You've got a what?
My granddad's got one of them. See, for me, growing
up. Is that that thing on the frame with all the wee balls that you used to count?
For me, obviously I had the Commodore, and I'm kind of going to walk you through a little bit in my my progression of consoles, and I don't even remember how I got most of them. So I started off with the Commodore, and then I moved on. My brother always had the consoles, and I would play with them. So he had the Sega, you know, the original Sega where you flip it open and shut. It's like you push the bit open and then put the game in. And the games were just square and they were black with a red tag at the top, right? So that's where we played Sonic.
Was it a Master System?
Aye.
The Sega Master System, so it was before Mega Drive?
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
And then we'd get the Mega Drive. We played Streets of Rage. We played that forever, man. Streets of Rage.
I was playing that when I tried to do a Twitch video the other night. For the
Yeah, I was playing it recently as well. You can actually get it on Steam. Did you get it on Steam?
Yes.
Right. Well, if you get it on Steam, you can actually multiplayer with anybody. They've got a huge Sega collection. I got the Atari collection, and the Sega collection has all the old Golden Axe, the original stuff. So I got the Segas. Then we moved on to Nintendo, and then eventually PlayStation 1, Game Boy, and right now I still own, as you can probably see from behind me, I've got a lot of games, old retro console games. I still own majority of the consoles that I grew up playing. GameCube, I've got Game Boy Advance, Game Boys, Pokemon games for the Game Boy, which was the thing to have for the Game Boy. I do not have a Game Gear, but I'll probably get one at some point. But what I would suggest to anybody that likes to play consoles of old, get yourself a Raspberry Pi. There's like 10,000 games on this thing. The thing is like this size, right? You plug it in via HDMI to your TV, right? And then you get a little controller like this. You can either buy them on eBay or whatever. Here's a PlayStation 1 controller with a USB at the end. Plug that in, and right away, you play any game on any console using this. So if you imagine you're playing Amiga, you're still going to use these to walk on the Amiga. You've got your action button, and then you've got your secondary button. That's all you really would use on it, you know?
Yeah.
If you're playing a Nintendo, these would still work as your color buttons, right? Nintendo, again, another USB connected Nintendo, right? You plug this into the side of the Raspberry Pi, right?
Come with these, or do you need to buy them separately?
These I got two of these with the Raspberry Pi. I got this with the PlayStation Classic, right? But the PlayStation Classic, you buy the PlayStation Classic, and it comes with like 10 games, right? Now, it flopped when it first came out, because no 10. This is the games you get with the PlayStation Classic, right? It comes in almost identical box as the PlayStation, right? It has what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 8...
25.
Right, right. So you got stuff like Metal Gear Solid, Destruction Derby, Crash Bandicoot, and whatnot with it. It's just some of the popular titles, right?
And those are built in.
Built in.
Discs.
Yeah. So you just turn it on. The disc drive actually doesn't open. It's only a small, little thing. It's not actually the size of a PlayStation.
Is that to scale? Like if you compare the controller size to the.
Aye. Well, The unit's sitting right there, but I don't want to unplug it. The unit itself the unit itself is about that size.
Right.
So it sits neatly under your thing. Again, HDMI. Then you plug in a Wii controller, right? So you buy this for about 50 quid. But then, the coolest thing is this. You can buy these on eBay. Right? They're called True Blue. Crackhead.
Sounds like a pregnancy test or something.
Right. True Blue, right? The Weed Pack and the Crackhead Pack, 101 games, 99 games. This has your full collection of any PS1 game. Name a PS1 game.
Die Hard.
On it. I'm telling you, these have...
Pandemonium.
On it. One and two.
I never played two.
One and two are on it, right? They literally have every game you can think of, from all the original Grand Theft Autos, Medal of Honor, Crash Bandicoot, Crash Team Racing, everything. Right? You buy these wee things.
Actua Golf.
Yep. You chuck this in it. Mate, it's got everything on it. You chuck these things into the port, and it basically updates your thing full of more games. That is what made the PlayStation Classic worth getting, right? But if you get a Raspberry Pi, you can get all that. Like, because the PlayStation itself is only for PlayStation games, but you get the Raspberry Pi, and you're just flicking through different consoles. You click on it, and then it comes up with thousands of games that were on these consoles. You name a console, handheld, Commodore, everything. You name it, it's got it. It's got the game on it. Now, they are quite costly, even though I did see one today on a marketplace for £80, exact same one as I've got, right? So someone's selling something they don't know the value of, right? And instead of the black shell, it actually looks like a mini SNES, right? But you buy that for about £250, the thing I've got, and you don't ever have to buy an old console. Basically, from the PlayStation 1 downwards, right? There's GameCube on it. No, Nintendo 64, sorry. It goes as high as Nintendo 64 PS1, but I prefer to use that and my actual Nintendo 64. But anything below there, if I want to go back and play Streets of Rage, if I want to play Rocky, I want to play Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street, everything. There's games on there I didn't even know were actual games. And so I was like, no way did they make a game of that. No way did they make a game of that. You know what I mean?
Well, here's one thing. I've been watching a lot of Angry Video Game Nerd recently. And I actually really enjoy the videos. One slight bugbear is that he's done a lot of reviews of a lot of the games that I used to love, and he hates them. But that's a personal thing. But he was talking about the fact that there's this one specific company that used to make basically all the games that were games based on movies.
Mm-hmm.
It was a company called LJN.
Right.
And apparently every game that they made was fucking rubbish. Like, it was very weird that a game based on a movie was actually good.
Home Alone was class.
Actually, Home Alone, I seen that. I think I seen him playing that actually on one of his reviews.
Moonwalker was shit hot.
And that looked just like Dennis.
Probably.
A very, very similar gameplay.
Yeah, I remember playing Home Alone, and when the bandits got you, they would hang you up on a hook in your house, like on a door frame. They would hang you up if they got you. Thingy's really good. Moonwalker is brilliant. Imagine listening to
I remember that for the Master System. I think my mate had a Master System, and I used to play that. It has a lot. See, that was the thing. I did have a lot of friends who did have the consoles that I didn't have, and I would enjoy playing them. But when it comes to things I've owned myself, the Amiga was the first. We did have an Atari 2600 as well, but that was obviously from years before. But I used to love playing that. There was games on that like Decathlon and Jungle Hunt and stuff like that, and they were all Sensible Soccer.
Mate, I've got all that stuff on Steam, right? Because I got a big Atari pack. Oh, fucking hell.
But after the Amiga, the first console I ever got after that was a PS2 when I was 18. I just went through a long period of only playing the Amiga, then playing nothing at all, and then I got a PS2 when I started earning some money. And there was a couple of games that I would play a lot.
Go on then, fucking Tiger Woods Golf or something. Yeah, old man.
That was one. another one was Batman Begins.
Mate, I've got that right there. I've got it sitting right there. Love that. My favourite Batman game is Batman Begins.
It was really good. Really, really fucking hard, but very good.
Oh, it was bloody brilliant.
Prince of Persia, Sands of Time.
I've got Warrior Within, but Sands of Time was actually really good. I remember that.
I really, really enjoyed that. I'm not a gamer now. The only games that I play now are the games that we're talking about.
Well, right, who now says you can't go back to play these games? You know what I mean? I've got into quite the habit now of collecting old consoles, like I'd shown you. I like to go back and revisit the nostalgia. It's still fun. I don't mind.
I'm a movie guy, man. I think I'm always going to be a movie guy. That is my thing. Games, they hold a slight amount of appeal. I'll play them for a wee while, but I get fed up very quickly. like the size of my hand. And like my kid, he plays Donkey Kong Returns on the Wii. And I'll play that for maybe 20 minutes. Mm. And I've had enough. It's like, I won't sit and play it for a long time. I can't do it.
Well, I can only I would say that as well. I'm not someone that can sit and play a game for hours and hours and hours, especially the kind of life that I have. But I do like to, you know, I'll take an hour or two.
My wife's a teacher, and she says that the amount of kids that show up to class having not slept because they're up all night playing games.
Wow. Do you know,
with each other?
That kind of makes sense. When we were younger, we couldn't play a game with our friends that weren't in the same house as us. But like me and my brother, and that when my mum used to come in and say, "Right, guys, TV off and whatnot," she'd go back through the living room, and we would get 20 minutes, and then we would get up, turn the TV on, turn the sound right the way down, and then we would sit there playing Streets of Rage into the dark hours. But we had to get up in the morning and act like we didn't. You know, and the minute we heard our door squeak open, holy shit, we had it down to a mission, man. And if anybody listening done this similar thing with their siblings, please write in and tell us your experience. But I remember this. I remember to a T, it was like this. Okay, let's plan this out. If we hear anything, anybody comes, you put the controllers back, I'll quit the TV, boom, right? It was like such a well choreographed back into bed, right? It was like, TV, controllers down, boom, both of us in bed. Right? So that when my mum or dad came...
That sounds like my porn routine. Except it's not the controller I have to put down.
Fuck's sake. Okay. But yeah, that used to be a wee routine. And I look fondly back on those wee memories of just, you know, sitting in front of an old box TV. You know, remember I used to turn the TV on and it'd be static. you've not tuned that in.
Yeah.
Right? I used to look forward to turning on the Sega, you know what I mean, and just playing it with my brother.
So what channel's it on? 68. Why is it on channel 68?
I know. And if you didn't have a remote...
I don't know how my dad done it.
If you didn't have a more control for it, you'd have to sit and do it manually on the TV, which would be a pain in the balls.
A remote control.
or the doofer. but, mate, I look fondly on that.
Going back to the Amiga, the main subject, going back to that for a minute, if somebody offered me one today, I'd take it and I'd play it. It's like... You know, even the action of putting the discs in, that's a nostalgic feeling now, because you don't really have to do that anymore, man. And it's like putting a VHS in. You lent me a VHS player so I could try my Terminator VHSs that I bought at a fucking antique shop. And the feeling of putting a video in was just, took me right back to my childhood.
Did you ever have to wrestle a videotape? With the discs. Did you ever have to wrestle a videotape out of the machine, right, where you could see that the ribbon had been stuck, so you're like, oh, this could go one or two ways, and you carefully try to pull that ribbon out in case it snaps? Did you ever have that?
I remember a good few tapes getting chewed up.
That feeling that you would have, right, when you pulled a tape out and the ribbon was snapped.
it's like with floppy disks, like if one of your mates was over or something, he'd be sliding that thing by.
Oh,
and
like, Denny,
what the fuck are you doing?
In my game,
like,
man.
And then you'd see a fingerprint. Like,
no.
What was the storage capacity on those? It was kilobytes.
And what, aye, man? Two kilobytes.
No. It was more than that. I think you're talking maybe 32 kilobytes or something like that. But this is an interesting thing. Right, we're not going to go on too much longer here, but just to talk about the difference in the skill when it comes to programming back then compared to now, right? You download a game that looks like a 16-bit game or an 8-bit game onto your mobile phone. That's easily a 50-megabyte file for some reason. Those games back then were kilobytes, not even 1 megabyte for an entire game. Like Sonic the Hedgehog, 64 kilobytes. You know, if you were to download that on your phone, you could be up 100 gigabyte. I don't understand what's gotten lost. It seems to me like back then, because there was so little space to work with, they had to be really clever with their programming. Now, there's so much abundance of space and memory and devices now that I think they're just lazy and they just program it as quick as they can without looking at having to compress anything down. It's lazy programming, and I think that's why the files are so big now for modern games that look just as bad as it was. That's a wee sidebar. So the Amiga, fucking get one if you don't have one.
They're like 400 quid one, now. So
if you do get one, give me a shout and I'll come up with it, because I'm the fucking buyer.
I would definitely just say get a Raspberry Pi, because you can play everything and it's neater, it's tidier. You can play it on your projector, right?
Yeah.
Get a Raspberry Pi, plug it in via USB, you'll get all the games. The same visual experience, the same pleasurable experience of playing the game. You just don't have to take your floppy out and shove it in.
Well, mate, whenever mine Führer Sturgeon lets us all see each other again,
we'll bring it over.
We can bring it over and we'll get it plugged into the projector. And
we'll live stream it.
Aye.
It'll be quite class.
That'll be a giggle.
So to top the show off here, we're gonna head to the final segment of the show, which is GMAX Marketplace Madness.
Oh man, here we go again. Some more gems from the fucking dull fuckery that you get on Facebook Marketplace pages. Now, we've discussed a few times now what this is, so I'm not going to go into it again. Anyway, Marketplace. People selling shit they don't want anymore, right? The example this week is going to show up just... I keep pointing the wrong way. It's going to show up just here in a minute.
On his face.
I seen this, I think it was 2 weeks ago, and I took a screenshot of it, and I thought, we need to talk about this one. This is the quirky storage chair. That, my friend, is a fucking chair. It's not quirky. And just because you can put something under it doesn't make it storage. I'm sitting on a piano stool right now, right? But it's got legs with gaps in between them. It's not a storage piano chair. It's a fucking piano chair. It's like quirky. It wasn't. It's not quirky. Look at the fucking Nicky. It's howling. There's nothing nice about that at all. Quirky's a nice kind of modern way of saying it's a bit minging, but you get used to it. But putting a box of cider under it doesn't make it storage. Have a wee think to yourself before advertising your shite. Jesus Christ, man. That was probably quite a mild example. I seen somebody trying to sell a slow cock. I think it was supposed to be a slow cooker. red slow cock for sale. That sounds interesting. I've got a big bank of these that we'll use up on future episodes. But I recently
saw one thing that kind of trumps your ones, right? And I don't know if I'll have the picture of it, right? But get this. Someone was on the marketplace selling a convertible Peugeot 206, right?
Right.
Do you want to know why it was convertible? Because they'd sawn the fucking roof off it. I was like, that's not convertible.
In that case, every car's a convertible.
Just fucking cut the roof off it. I'm like,
how can you tell? It was like saw marks,
mate. It was like square.
Oh, God, man.
I was like, oh no. I was like, that's not convertible. But then, do you know what? As well, I see people. This is kind of my bugbear on the marketplace. This is free to anybody. It's a rocking horse. Needs a good fucking scrub, but free to anybody that wants it.
Needs a good scrub. Scrub it then.
Right. Here's a bag of what? Size 2 2-year-old clothes. Just need cleaned.
clean them then. That really bugs me,
fucking
man.
Fucking laziness, man.
It really does. I don't understand that. If you're going to sell anything, you clean it first. If somebody's coming to look at your car, if you're selling it, you clean it first. Somebody's coming at your house, you try to sell it, you clean it first. Trying to sell a pair of shoes that have been through cow shit, nah, they'll be fine.
Aye, still wearing them as she's advertising the fucking thing. Right? But my
it's when they're wearing them, they advertise and say, never been worn.
I know, for fuck's sake.
It's like, you're fucking wearing them.
My daughter's grown. Obviously, she's grown. She's 1 year old, right? So we always make sure that any clothes that she's grown out of, which she grows out of, obviously, often as hell, my wife will wash them, fold them, put them in a bag and say, who would like these? You know, because obviously, no, everybody's in a position where they can get their kids' clothes. It's just the world we live in. So we'd rather give them away than bin them or even sell them, right? So we just offer it bags of clothes for free, but they're washed, they're folded. You know what I mean? Fucking just need a good scrub. Fucking bin it then.
I know.
You know what I mean?
I've actually got one more here I need to tell you about. Mm-hmm. I'll send you it so that you can put it right there, right? But this is somebody trying to sell an old Garmin sat-nav, right? Now it says, it's advertised as new GPS of car, right? Which is terrible use of English anyway. New GPS of car. Now, you would think it was impossible to misspell GPS. No, it's not. New GPS of car. New, they got right. Uh-huh. Of and car, they got right. GPS is spelled G-I-P-I-E-S.
Jeppies.
GPS.
GPS. Jipies. GPS.
Gippies.
For anybody that's listening to this, watching this, if you go to your local marketplace and see any of these disastrous sale pitches, please screenshot it and send it to jibberjabberpodcast.com or jibberjabberscotland@gmail.com or any of our socials, Instagram, Twitter. Just smash it to us, along with a review of whether you enjoy their episode or not. I just want to say a big thank you to everybody that has been listening throughout the last 2 years. Recently we posted some stats. We're doing not too bad as a podcast, a lot further on than what I expected us to be at this point. So we got you guys to thank for that. So thank you. I know you guys are listening because I see the stats. So if you could do me a favor and just let me know the parts you like about the show, tell us what parts you maybe don't like so we can do more of that. And we'll kind of just keep rolling the ball.
That's it. It's been a great journey so far, and we'll keep it going as long as you guys want us to keep going and beyond.
Aye, exactly. Because if they're like, yeah, we've had enough now, I'm like, cool. So the next episode. So this will actually be the last episode before Christmas. So we'll do this episode, and we'll maybe do a wee special one to see the new year in, if we can get that sorted. We'll maybe do something special, maybe highlights of 2020.
Have you seen Jim Carrey? He's given a speech, and he says, just before I go any further, I want us to all just take a minute and close your eyes and meditate on the past year. And he just goes like this.
Yeah. Maybe we'll do a wee 2020 retrospective. Maybe try and turn something negative into positive and kind of highlight all the positives throughout 2020. But that'd be pretty cool. So if you guys...
There's been a lot of positives in 2020, mainly COVID tests, but there you go.
Fucking. So if you guys join us next week for the next episode of the Jibber Jabber Podcast, we've been loving bringing this stuff to you guys. It's a good catch up for us, and we love to talk jibber jabber on the airwaves. So thank you again, and we will see you. In fact, you'll see us and hear us next week. Make sure you check out the Jibber Jabber Podcast on YouTube, where you can see this episode. Thanks again for listening. If you're just downloading it, because we know you guys still do that. Some people prefer to do that. Cool stuff, man. And thanks. and we will see you on the flip side.
Run! Go! Get to the jibber jabber!